You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to ICS Church. My name is Chad, one of the pastors here. How many of you guys are ready for the holidays? It's an unusual time to be thinking about that, especially since travel is very limited, although it is possible right now in the Philippines. You know, I've been seeing some posts of flights that people have opened up, you know, airlines have opened up to travel destinations, both domestically and internationally. So have you made plans? Are you one of those who have already secured your flights? If that's you, why don't you write it down? Or if it's not, hey, can you just write down in the chat box, what is your dream destination? If you could fly anywhere, be anywhere over Christmas and New Year, where would your dream destination be? That's our title for today. Our title for today is Ultimate Destination. Ultimate Destination. No, this is not a travel show, but this is the title of our message for today. All of us have places to go, right? If there is no limits to our travel in the city, in the country, even around the world, I'm sure all of us would have already been there or reached our destinations by now. You know, I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about one time he was planning to go to this popular restaurant, but he's never been there before. So he took out his GPS and keyed in the address and followed it every step of the way. By the time the GPS spoke and the AI said, hey, you've reached your destination, they got out of the car, looked around, and it didn't look anywhere like the restaurant. There was a wall that was in front of them. Why? Because they had followed the wrong path. Right? The restaurant was on the other side of the wall and there was no entrance or exit or any way to get into that restaurant from this side of the roads. So they had to backtrack and it took them another 30 minutes just to get out of where they were, back on the highway and on the right side, ultimately reaching their destinations. You see, it doesn't matter how sincere we are when we are on the path. Like, we will never reach our destination if we are on the wrong path. It doesn't matter how sincere we are, if the path that we take, if the road that we take, you know, even just a turn is wrong, we will end up where we did not expect. And in a lot of cases, that's how it is in our everyday life. You know, some of us make plans. Some of us who've been here on earth longer than others could probably tell us some stories, right? But for many, many who are younger, there's still a bit of boldness in thinking, you know, it doesn't matter what direction my life is on, I'll just make some course corrections later on. That's probably not the best thing to do. Because like our doctors say, you know, prevention is always better than cure, right? Prevention is always better than cure. And really, that's God's desire for us. God's desire, our Heavenly Father, He loves us so much. For those of us who call Jesus our Lord and our Savior, our Father loves us so much that He desires for us to experience fullness and abundant life through Jesus Christ. In many ways, this is experienced by following His direction for our life, following His commands, obeying what He has instructed us to do. Yes, under His grace, if we make mistakes, we can make course corrections. We can be restored. But how much better would it be if we actually were able to know ahead of time what the warning signs are so that we could prevent ourselves from experiencing disaster that could possibly mark our life for a very long time? That's what we want to talk about today. And I'm borrowing a statement from another preacher. His name is Andy Stanley. You know, I couldn't rethink of another way of rephrasing this. And so I'm just giving him credit right now. And the statement is this: direction, not intention, determines your destination. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. So whatever your plans have in life right now, especially when it comes to honoring God, this is really important. It doesn't matter how sincere you are in wanting to honor God, honor Jesus, or achieve a particular goal. If the direction that you're on is wrong, your destination will be wrong as well. We're going to take a passage in the book of Proverbs today to talk about this. And it's written by the wisest man who ever lived, second only to Jesus. And he was King Solomon, King Solomon. Here in Proverbs 7, he gives an advice, and then it tells a story to illustrate his advice. And finally, he concludes it with more reminders. So we're going to go straight into that right now. Proverbs 7 and verse 1, it says, "Follow my advice, son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman." So here in this introduction of this proverb, again, it's a relationship that we see. It's a father giving advice to his son, a son who's obviously still young and is receiving advice from his loving father. And all throughout Proverbs, you know, whenever you talk about wisdom, it's personified. And so here, Solomon, again, illustrating how important it is to actually embrace and love wisdom. Of course, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, the wisdom that Solomon talks about is not human wisdom. Rather, it's wisdom that comes from God. It is rooted in his commands. It is rooted in the principles that we find in scriptures as taught and lived out in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's kind of our compass here. That is where Solomon is coming from. That's what he's talking about. And specifically in verse 5, he talks about a potential encounter. And the illustration he uses is an immoral woman, or it could be an immoral man, right? Doesn't matter. But just like it was in their day, you know, these challenges continue to be present today. Immorality, as it was very prevalent during that time, is actually still rampant in our time, even in some of the most religious countries in the world. I mean, it's so surprising to find and discover that. And the reason for that is, I believe, is a lot of people have a relationship with God just in their minds, but not really in their hearts. Their hearts are not fully surrendered. So it's good to heed this advice from this loving father to his son so that we can avoid potential pains and heartaches, not just with immorality, but with regards to sin in general. How can we do that? So he follows it up with an illustration. In verse 6, here he is, and you could almost picture him in this story. "While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense." Do you know any young men like that? Don't look at anybody in the room, all right? "He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell." So here's the picture. You could almost see Solomon probably on the second floor of the house, maybe. That's, you know, he's looking outside the window. He has a good view of the street. And pretty much, he tells you what he's seeing. "Oh, look, there's a young guy. He's walking. Oh, look, he's now crossing the street. Guess where he's going towards? Why is he crossing there? Why didn't he cross earlier? Does he even have to cross?" I mean, he's probably thinking this to himself. "But look at this. He's now going close to that house. And that house is where this woman with a clear reputation for immorality lives." So it's like a movie, like a story that you're watching on your screen, and you can almost anticipate, you can predict what is going to happen next. And sure enough, that is what Solomon paints to us. Here's the encounter between the young man and this woman. "The woman," she was right there, "approached him seductively, dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, "I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month." So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. Wow. If you haven't realized it yet, this is actually a PG-13 message right now. So parents, right? I need for you guys to somehow explain this to those who may be watching with you. The illustration and the encounter here is something, unfortunately, is something that's very common and we encounter these days. This young man, not wise with age, it says they're probably not practicing a lot of common sense because he hasn't had a lot of experience in life, makes one wrong decision after another. And what about the woman? Here's a woman who's married, but obviously she's allowing certain desires, lustful desires, to really overtake her, because this isn't the first time that this has happened. This is something that she is known for. But this young man may or may not know that. If this young man knew about it, then the big question mark is, why, oh why, did you cross the street to be near that place? And if he didn't know it, oh man, he was about to get into big trouble. And so the encounter takes place. And you know, just like any form of sin or immorality, it will always present itself as good. And the way we see it would always be in good light. And by the time we respond to it, it's going to be too late. See, sin never presents itself in a bad light. Lucifer, who was somebody who was luminescent, right? It tells us in scripture that he parades around as an angel of light. And you know, if you're an angel of light or there is light, you would always be drawn to that. I sing, as sweet as it is enticing. You take one dip of that cake and lick it, and it's like, man, I want some more. Or what about that dark chocolate ice cream? Yes, that's my kryptonite. I mean, you see that, and one bite, one lick makes you want some more. And by the time you don't realize it, man, you've eaten so much that it's actually going to start affecting you, your body, your physiology, and your blood sugar. By the time you realize it, it's too late. This is what happens here in this encounter. Crosses the street. She allures him. He responds. What happens next? You see, sin, when it's presented, is always good. And a lot of times, it's the consequences that we don't think about that has its ramifications. In the following verse, it tells us here in verse 22, he followed her at once. He followed her at once. Instead of running away, he followed her at once, like an ox going to the slaughter. What a picture. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. You know, I feel like I'm watching a kind of a documentary right now about animals. You know, it's like you could almost feel it. It's like, man, here comes the lion and there's the prey, and he doesn't know it, but he's already trapped. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. And really, that's what sin does. Temptation will draw us in, and by the time you commit sin, it's going to be too late. You are marked, you are tainted, it is part of you, it's in your memories, It's affected your spirit. It's affected your soul. And we don't even have to finish the story. In fact, Solomon doesn't even finish the story because everybody who's listening knows exactly what's going to happen next. This young man is going to be marked for life. This woman who already has this reputation, she probably doesn't care anymore. Her moral compass is already probably seared because, man, she even used sacrifices and offerings, and that would be equivalent to your sin sacrifices. She said, you know what? I already offered my sin sacrifice for the month, so I'm good. I can rack up more sins. She's missing the point because our relationship with God is not about good works, but about the grace that He pours out to us. So there wasn't sincerity on her part. It was just her way to try to convince this young man to help fulfill her own lustful desires. But this young man had no idea. He had no idea that this encounter would mark him, would leave a scar in his soul. Why? Because you know, when God designed us, He designed us one for one. One husband to one wife to one husband. And in Genesis, it says there, we become one flesh. And in that experience, it's not just a joining of physical bodies, it's a joining of spirit and soul as well. Part of ourselves is left with the other person, and the other person marks us with their own life when this experience takes place. This young man probably had no idea. But after this encounter, he would carry this the rest of his life. Many of us who've been around for a long time have our souls, our spirit, possibly even our emotions, marked with scars of sin that we have committed willfully and even unwillfully. And we carry that with us. Reminds us of our frailty. And you know how much God loves us? God loves us so much that He would bring this illustration to us. And so for those of us who are listening, He would say, hey, this is how much I love you. I'm giving you a warning. I'm giving you an illustration. I'm giving you Solomon to give you wisdom so that you can prevent this from taking place in your own life. You can keep away from being marked and marred by sin. And so Solomon continues and he says, so listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your heart stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. You know, sometimes we think we're special. Sometimes we think we're the only one. Sometimes we think, man, nobody else is going to know. It's just going to be me who will, you know, commit this. But whenever you commit sin, it's not just you that's affected. There's always a collateral damage. There's always a ripple effect. It's you and later on the people around you and the people that you relate with somehow will be affected by that sin as well. What we don't know is that her house is the road to the grave and that her bedroom is the den of death. And that is what sin does. Ultimately, the result of sin is death and destruction. It's never good. At the start, it looks appealing. It may even feel good and feel great, but the consequences are harsh. It destroys us. It marks us. It leaves a mark in our life. You know, the beauty about all these things is that God is a God of grace. And He can restore the things that were once broken. There is redemption. The point of this proverb is, hey, prevention is better than cure. We're thankful for the cure, just like this pandemic. You know, we're hoping that a vaccine, as they've said, has already been discovered. And it's a matter of time as it is distributed and is experienced around the world. But if we can prevent it, which is what many of us have done, right? We've stayed home. We've worn masks. We've worn face shields. We've washed our hands. We try to limit our interactions with the public. And because of that, many of us have been saved from experiencing this infection. And that's exactly what Solomon and God is wanting us to know when it comes to sin and decay. He has a destination for us. It's a full life. It's an abundant life. It's a sin, as much as possible, sin-free life. Not to be enslaved by sin again. But we need to yield to His direction. So on the path, a couple of things. Practical. Follow godly advice. That's what He's saying here. Father, speaking to a son, listen to my advice, just like a loving Heavenly Father does to us. Let's listen to the advice of our Heavenly Father. It's only for our good. It may not seem that way when we read it, when we hear it, but ultimately in the end, we can say, man, I'm glad I followed your advice, Dad, because if not, the disaster would have been worse. We need to treasure and obey God's commands. The written word, it can't just be something that we memorize, we read, we listen to. It needs to go from our thoughts down to our hearts and eventually lived out in our life. Because that is how it will produce the right kind of fruit. We need to stay on guard. Guard your eyes. Guard your senses. Guard what comes in and eventually makes its way down into our heart. Whenever we're driving on the road, that's the purpose of those road signs that we see all around us. It is to give us warnings of what is ahead, right? Slow down. No overtaking. Because there's potential danger. Accidents can take place at this point on your journey. And that is why it's so important for us to stay on guard. And you know who helps us stay on guard? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be made aware and alert of all that is happening around us. Finally, Solomon says, keep your heart from wandering, from straying. The only way that we can do that is if we ensure that Jesus, you're the one that's enthroned in my heart. A lot of times we want to push God aside from our heart and say, I want to be followed. My will be done. Not yours, God, but my will. But you know, whenever we try to do our own will, a lot of times it always falls short. It's never ultimately fulfilling. And many times, it can even bring pain and heartache if we follow our own desires. But if we let Jesus rule and reign, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us from our hearts, through our relationships, through what we do at work, how we approach challenges, temptations, emotions in life, we will come out better for it. Why? Because when we encounter temptation, immediately, the Holy Spirit sets off an alarm. If He is the one that's reigning in our lives, if Jesus is the one that we're choosing to please, not ourselves, not somebody else, but Jesus. Jesus, you're the one I want to please. Not me, not this person, not peer pressure, but you. Immediately, instead of this young man crossing the street, the alarm bell would ring and say, hey, you don't need to go there. You need to stay on this side of the street and not cross because temptation is right there. And sometimes we think, man, I can handle it. No, that's the wrong thinking right there. Because we're actually allowing and opening ourselves up to sin. The only thing that can fight sin is the presence of God through His Spirit. Not our own wills, but it's His presence. Whenever Jesus was confronted with sin, He took the written word of God and He spoke it. And every time He experienced victory. And that is what we need to do in our life today. You may be listening to this and you're one of those who said, hey, what about me? I've done some stuff and that's in me now. Is there no hope? Yes, there's hope. Because God is a God of multiple chances, not just a second. He goes through a third, fourth. That's what grace is. He gives us what we don't deserve. But we need to willfully turn towards Him. Seek Him, surrender to Him, and experience His forgiveness in our life. If that's your desire today, you can experience that. The full life. A life where even if you have the memory of that failure, of that sin, it will not sting anymore. Why? Because God can bring healing to that pain and to that memory through Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, would you pray with me right now as we come to the Lord together? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your love for us. You loved us so much that You gave us instructions, guidance. You sent Jesus to save us. You sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. Lord, I ask that you forgive me of any sin that I have in my life today. Help me, Lord God, to be restored back into a right relationship with you so that I can experience the full and abundant life that Jesus came to give me beginning today. Jesus, I choose to follow you as my Lord, and I ask that you come and send the Holy Spirit to renew me in Jesus' name. In your name I ask. Amen. Amen. Come on, if you pray that prayer, let us know. Send us a message. And we want to encourage you to grow in your walk with the Lord today. Thank you so much for joining us once again at ICS Church. Have a blessed week as you strive to follow Jesus every day of your life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.